Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Turkey. And we've got three different topics to cover off today. The inflation data has just been released for the month of June, and unfortunately, it's gone up again, and we're now at a 24-year high. So we'll go through those details, and we'll have a look at what's driving inflation. We'll talk about whether there's any end in sight here. If you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Turkey in some detail over the last 6 months or so, and it just doesn't look like it's getting any better. I don't know where the turning point is coming. So we'll go through exactly what's going on, and then I'll talk about what I think the options are and what I think is likely to happen in Turkey. In addition to the economic data, I'll also talk you through a new inflation-linked bond that the insurance market in Turkey have asked the authorities to issue in order to try to help them to preserve some of their profits. So I'll go through the details on what's going on with that. And then finally today, we'll talk about the potential of Turkey reinstating the death penalty. President Erdogan was interviewed recently and has indicated that he's supportive of reinstating the death penalty. So we'll have a look at exactly what those discussions were. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen to Turkey over the next 3 to 6 months and what the implications of this are for the global economy. So before I get started, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up and also to please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos so you can skip over things if you're not that interested in them. And if you'd like to support the channel, have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube's Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Turkey's annual rate of inflation increased to 78.62% in June, which is the highest level that's been seen in the country since September 1998. If we look at the details of what's driving inflation, one of the biggest concerns here is that food inflation is now up to 93.9%. So this is approaching 100% inflation. And you can see that it's been growing significantly over the last 7 months. And for the last 3 months, we've had food inflation above 89%. Now, this is off the scale. And of course, food is something that everybody has to buy. So this affects the poorer people of society disproportionately because they just can't afford any increase in food prices. And one of the reasons why this inflation is so high is because Turkey is importing a lot of food. And we've seen global prices of food substances such as wheat and corn increase by more than 50% since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And we've also seen a deterioration in the value of the Turkish lira. So it's a double whammy impact. The global prices have gone up, the value of the lira goes down. So overall, that's hurting the Turkish people. And that's why we're seeing such excruciatingly high rates of food inflation. And this chart shows the movement in import prices over the last 12 months. Now, these are not percentage figures. This is an index figure. Now, Turkey have actually stopped releasing this data, so this chart only runs until April 2022. But you can see that back in May of 21, the index here was sitting at 111. In April, the index had increased to 154, which represented an uplift of around 38%. Russia's invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February, and May and June are two of the months that we've seen the biggest impact of all of the increases around the globe. So if we had that data, it's very likely that the movements in May and June have been accelerated. We're seeing much higher import prices that Turkey are having to pay for everything. One of the other areas that affects all members of society is transportation. Everybody has to pay for transport costs. And this chart shows the index for transportation costs over the last 12 months. So again, the figures here are not percentages, this is an index. And you can see that back in July 21, the index was sitting at 567 points. So that represents an increase over the last 12 months of 121% in transportation costs. And of course, this is being driven predominantly by the increase in oil prices. That's feeding in to the cost of transport. And since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we have seen oil and transport costs continuing to rise month on month. And once again, this is a cost that disproportionately affects the poorer people in society, because everybody has to pay to transport, if you're going to work, taking your children to school, whatever it might be. Either you've got your own private transport or you're using public transport. But either way, you're having to pay for transportation costs, and they have risen dramatically. And a figure of 121% increase is obviously significantly above the 79% inflation increase that we've got in Turkey right now. So the increase in transportation costs is almost double the rate of inflation, and that's going to push inflation further going forward. Annual producer price inflation in Turkey increased to 138.3% in June, which is the highest rate that the country has seen since February 1995. This chart shows the movement in the prices over the last 12 months. And you can see that there was a huge ramping up in producer prices back in November, which was when the lira started to deteriorate in value dramatically. And the reason that producer prices are going up so rapidly is that Turkey has to import most of the components and materials that it uses in manufacturing and industry. So it's having to buy them in the international markets. And once again, Turkey has been hit with a double whammy. The price of all of those products has gone up as we've seen global inflation rising. And following the invasion of Ukraine, we've seen an increase in inflation rates. We've seen an increase in oil and commodity prices. And that's driven up the global price of everything. And at the same time as that was happening, the value of the lira was also falling. So in relative terms, that made it even more expensive because they had to use more Turkish lira to buy those goods. So this has been a real nightmare for Turkey. And a current rate of 138% for producer prices is really concerning because producer prices feed through into consumer prices later. Because these are the factory gate prices. So if you're manufacturing something, if you're making something, this is what the producers are paying. And producers then have to pass on their increased costs in the form of higher prices to consumers. If you want to maintain your profit and your costs go up, then the only way of doing that is to increase your prices. So 138% increase in producer prices gives us a strong indication that there are going to be even more pressure on inflation for consumer prices in the next 3 to 6 months. And as the current rate of producer prices is almost double what consumer prices are, it's very likely that consumer prices will be heading in this direction. And I think there's a very strong likelihood that Turkey is heading towards 100% plus consumer price inflation soon. And whilst we're talking about prices and the Turkish lira, this chart shows the movement in the lira against the US dollar over the last 12 months. So you can see that there has been a significant deterioration in the value. This time last year, one US dollar equated to around 9 Turkish lira. Today, it's closer to 17. And unfortunately, there is continued pressure on the lira all the time. As you'll know if you follow the channel, the Turkish authorities have undertaken a number of different schemes to try to get the local population and all of industry to convert any currency that they have to lira, as well as handing over their gold. And all of these initiatives have helped to slow down the deterioration. But unfortunately, Turkey are running out of options and they're also running out of foreign currency. And they have to use large amounts of foreign currency to buy in energy products. They're buying in gas and oil. And as the price of energy is continuing to rise, Turkey have less currency available to support the lira in the international markets. And there is a real potential that at some point over the next few months, we could see another significant deterioration in the value of the Turkish lira, which would obviously be further bad news for Turkey because they're a net importer. They're buying in more than they're exporting. And so if the value of the lira falls further, then prices will be pushed up even more and we'll have more pressure on inflation. So it becomes a really vicious circle. It's been announced that Turkey's Insurance Association is in talks with the country's treasury on a potential inflation-indexed bond issue as insurers look for a new mechanism to protect their capital from soaring inflation. Now, I thought this was quite an interesting topic, and before we get into the details on what's actually being discussed, I thought it was worth talking about how insurers use their capital. So when you pay for an insurance policy, you often pay your premium up front, so you might pay for the full 12 months in advance. And that means that the insurance company gets a lump sum of cash, and obviously if they've got millions of customers, then they get a lot of cash. They're sitting on large amounts of capital. Now, some of that cash needs to be used to offset their risk. So there's the whole reinsurance market whereby they can offload some of your risk. If something happens that could cause them a major claim, then they don't want to have to fund all of that claim themselves. So they use other insurance companies and everybody shares the risk. And if you're doing that, you have to pay those other insurance companies some premium. So some of the money you give to them will be used to offload some of the risk. But a lot of the capital is actually used for investment. So the insurance companies often put the money into stock markets and bonds and other instruments that can grow in value. And that means that that pot of capital that they're sitting on gets bigger and bigger. So if you eventually do make a claim on your insurance policy, they've got a growing amount of cash and they can use some of that cash to pay you out. And any profit over and above what they pay out, they can declare as profit for their shareholders and pay out dividends. So that's broadly speaking how it works. It's a bit more complicated than that, but in simple terms, they use quite a lot of the money that you give them to invest in the markets, to make some return so that they've got more money to be able to pay you out. Now, high rates of inflation are a problem for insurance companies because that means that the price of everything is rising. So if you've insured something, if you insure your car, and then you have an accident and they have to pay you out. If the price of replacing that car has gone up significantly, then that will cost the insurance company more. So they need to keep in line with inflation. And the problem that the Turkish insurance companies have got right now is that inflation is running at 73%. So that is a huge increase in prices. And there's no way that the returns from any investments that they're making are giving them anything near to 73%. In fact, right now, the stock markets are generally falling in value. So it's likely that any investments that they've made could actually be losing money. So the insurers are now in a difficult situation in Turkey. So they've approached the Treasury and asked for a bond to be issued by the government that's linked to inflation, that they can move in line with that 70% increase in consumer prices. So it's reported that the Turkish Treasury is in discussions with the insurance companies with regards to a bond issuance of around $2 billion, which would be linked directly to inflation. Now, obviously, on paper, this looks like a fantastic investment opportunity. If you can get a 70% return on an investment, that's hedge fund territory. That's really, really high. Now, it's not going to be made available to anybody else. This is just a special arrangement that's being put in place just for the insurance companies. So essentially, it's like a subsidy. The Turkish government are basically helping out the insurance sector because they can see that they're suffering as a result of the high levels of inflation. And the problem that they have is obviously if the insurance companies needed to increase their premiums to match what's happening with inflation, then that will fuel further inflation. Because everybody needs to buy insurance. If you've got cars and homes and anything else, it's compulsory to have the insurance. And so if we saw a 100% increase in premiums to offset what's happening with inflation, then that's going to drive inflation further. So there is a little bit of method in the madness in terms of what the Turkish authorities are doing, because they don't want the insurance companies to start hiking all of their rates overnight, which is just going to cause more problems for inflation, but also more hardship for the individuals because there'll be even less disposable income if you're having to pay more for your insurance. So I just wanted to mention this because I think it's another interesting aspect of the economy. You probably don't think about insurance when you're looking at high rates of inflation, but inflation affects everybody. And the thing with insurance premiums is that the insurance companies set them. They can decide exactly what they are. And although there is an element of competition in insurance, you can shop around. Generally speaking, it does work a bit like an oligopoly. So you have a limited number of companies who are offering insurance. And if one of them decides to hike their rates, then generally speaking, everybody else does as well. So you might be able to get a slightly better deal here and there if you shop around on the internet. But broadly speaking, it tends to be within a relatively thin band. So if the insurance market decided to just move all the prices, what are you going to do about it? You need insurance, and they're the only people who can offer it to you. Capital punishment was abolished in 2004 during President Erdogan's reign. However, he's recently been quoted as stating that he would consider reintroducing it. Now, it's interesting that the crime that he was talking about is actually the starting of a wildfire in Turkey. A suspected deliberate blaze destroyed 4,500 hectares of Aegean coastal forest. The authorities have detained the suspect in connection with the fire, and he has reportedly admitted to causing it. After visiting the scene, President Erdogan said the punishment for burning forests should be intimidating, and if that's a death sentence, it's a death sentence. Following these comments, the Justice Minister for Turkey stated that the president's comments are instructions to us. He said that the ministry had started working on this concept and added that the current punishment for starting wildfires was 10 years in prison, rising to a possible life sentence if part of organised crime. So I think it's very interesting that President Erdogan is considering reinstating the death penalty after an absence of 18 years in the country. And I think it's also fascinating that he's considering doing it in response to a wildfire incident, because I don't think most of us would associate wildfires with the death penalty. I know wildfires are a serious issue and shouldn't be taken lightly, but the death penalty is something that is highly controversial and is usually linked to some form of murder case or something of that nature. So it seems quite unusual that wildfires have been linked to the death penalty in this way. Now, as I mentioned before in the channel, there is an election coming up in Turkey in June 2023, and we're now in the run-up to that period. And what's happening in the economy is clearly of concern to everybody and really won't help with the re-election campaign. So I think we'll see a number of other political agendas starting to appear over the course of the next 6 to 9 months. And it'll be interesting to see how this all falls into shape as we go towards that election. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, the main focus of this video really is the news that we've now got inflation at a 24-year high in Turkey. We have seen inflation going higher and higher over the last 6 months, but the authorities are still sticking with their plan to keep interest rates down. So we saw interest rates being reduced during 2021. They came down from around 19% to 14%. They've been held steady at 14% over the last few months. And each one of those months, we've seen a really big increase in inflation. So the current strategy doesn't appear to be working. It is a contrarian view, as I've discussed before. The traditional method of dealing with rising inflation is to raise interest rates because it reduces the amount of free cash that everybody has and therefore reduces demand and should then bring prices back down. That's the logic. Now, the logic in Turkey is being looked at in a different way. They don't believe the traditional method works. So far, that's been proved entirely wrong. We've seen inflation go to some of the highest levels in the whole world right now. And when you look at the fundamentals, there's no light at the end of the tunnel because the producer price index is running at almost double the rate of the consumer price index inflation. So that tells you that there's more pressure coming. We're going to see more increase in prices. All of those producers are going to have to increase the price that they sell to consumers at over the next 3 to 6 months. So the indicators tell you it's going to get a lot worse. And the question here really is, at what point does the economy start to break? If you get to over 100% inflation, that means that prices are doubling year on year. But when you look at what's happening within each month, we're seeing runaway inflation right now. And one of the problems that Turkey has is that as the lira has deteriorated in value, the local population has lost confidence in it. So there's been a dollarization of the Turkish economy. We've discussed this before on the channel. Around 2/3 of all transactions are taking place in non-lira currency. So this will be in US dollars and euros and anything else that people can get their hands on. And the reason that the population are doing that is because they can see the value of the lira falling on a daily basis. So if you're buying basic items such as a loaf of bread, it's costing you more every time you go back to the shop in lira. Whereas if you're buying it with US dollars or euros, there will be an agreed market rate. And so everybody now has more confidence in the foreign currencies. And that becomes a real problem for countries like Turkey, because as all of the population move away from lira, it further reduces demand and therefore puts more pressure on the currency. And so we could see it falling even further. So this is really the perfect storm for Turkey, and they need some form of cash injection. They need a large amount of capital to get them through the next 6 to 12 months. And if they don't get that, then we could see Turkey defaulting on its international debt. And I'm absolutely sure that President Erdogan does not want to be in that situation going into a new election in 2023. So over the course of the next 6 months, I'm expecting that Turkey will do more deals. They may be talking to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, other friendly nations who may take on more sukuk bonds. They may do more currency swaps. They may do some deals with Russia, potentially. And that's an interesting debate to have because at the moment they're part of NATO and they're on the NATO side of life. And Russia are not in NATO. Obviously, they're against NATO. So in the normal course of events, Turkey would have been expected to be party to all of the sanctions that are being applied against Russia. Now, they haven't done that. They've managed to sit on the fence because they've got a relationship with both Russia and Ukraine and NATO. So they're being all things to all men right now. And I'm sure Russia will be offering very attractive terms of business to Turkey going forward because they're needing to find more business partners as they're losing all of their Western allies. So Turkey may be able to strike some sweet deals with Russia in terms of the supply of energy. But the question here will be whether or not the US and the EU decide that they're not happy with that arrangement and start putting pressure on Turkey to no longer be doing business with Russia. And the problem that Turkey has is they just don't have any headroom. They've got nothing left in the pot. They need somebody to help them out. So they're reaching out to any friendly nations right now. But geopolitically, working with Russia may not work for the rest of NATO. So it's going to be really interesting 3 to 6 months. In terms of the impact on the global economy of Turkey's situation right now, well, it's going to be negative. Because they have a negative balance of trade, they need money. They need people to help them out. And of course, as more money goes into Turkey from the rest of the world, somebody will need to pay for that at some point. So whether it be in the form of sukuk bonds or loans or a bailout, whatever it might be, it's going to put more pressure on everybody else in the world. So overall, a weak Turkey is bad news for the global economy. So hopefully you found this update useful and interesting. I'll keep you posted on any further news coming out of Turkey as and when I hear it. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me that thumbs up. And don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.